This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
All right, we are back. Now we are going to wait for Mr. Brian Flores. You're going to pull up the press conference there. Let's pull it up. And the press conference, too. Let's get ready. So that way, when the coach appears, he will appear on your screen and he will address the meteors and they will ask plenty. Let's see. What else do we have here? Pat. Let's see. Chris Adams reminds everybody to hit the like button. Nice job by you, sir. Help Big O reach the Dolphins that can't find them or just don't know. It's one of the few ways we can thank him for his hard work and amazing content he gives us. Thank you, Chris. That is very kind of you, man. My man, appreciate that. All right. C. Dola says, down here, every bar is a Dolphin bar this Sunday. Damn right. What else would it be? It's the only thing it can be. Little aqua and orange, baby. That's it. Let's see. Y'all don't need to pay that nasty Sunday ticket mafia. Plenty Euro sites with all the games and Red Zone for free. There are those. You can find those links. My buddy lives on those links. So, yeah, you can. Blue Tie Limousine says, if Tua ends up being the fourth best QB in the division by the end of year, then the Dolphins will be forced to trade for Deshaun Watson. Changes the power structure in the AFC East. I love how people just want to look forward to the worst. Right? It's like they're 1-0. They got a shot at going 2-0, but let's talk about the quarterback becoming the worst quarterback in the division. Let's just talk about failure because I love to torture myself. I want to talk about failure. I'd rather talk about Dolphins losing because it's so fun to be, you know, hypercritical and overreact and all those kind of juicy things. You know, why enjoy the moment? Why enjoy a victory in Foxborough? You know, why talk about a Buffalo game that maybe you go 2-0? No, let's just talk about the worst things that could possibly happen. Right? Yeah, let's just talk about Tua being terrible. It's awesome. I mean, it's fantastic how people just like to torture themselves. Can't enjoy what's going on. Yeah. Why would I want to enjoy what's going on? The team has won a lot more than it's lost since the 0-7 start. They won 10 games last year, and they already started with 1-0, and they got a shot at going 2-0 this Sunday. And let me just think about the worst things that could possibly happen for the team. Which, by the way, not only does he torture himself by having Tua, then he wants to trade 4,000 picks for a player. So then weaken yourself again, you know? It's just, I love that, man. It's just so fantastic how some of you just want to just, you know, go on with that. No Flo yet? What's up with Flo, bro? Okay. Oh, so they haven't put it up on Twitter? Okay. All right. So maybe it's a Zoomer. Maybe it'll be put on later. Okay. Well, we'll keep up with it, and maybe they'll put it up after, and then we'll go with it if they don't do that. There you go. So, Big O, what's the best way to attack Josh? I think you mean attack, not attach. Josh Allen. We get this win, I'll put it in front in the division, and we'll have the rest of them chafing all year or chasing all year. It's a must win, but it's not a must win, but it feels like it. It's on YouTube, apparently. So check it out. So see if it's on the tube. If it's on the tube, then I don't know. Can we split screen on the tube? That's what we'll do. If we could go live from the tube, we'll do that. If Mac Jones ends up the fourth best QB in the division, the Pats will be forced to trade for Watson. thank you, Eric. I appreciate you, man. Thank you for putting a smile on my face. I love that. Oh, man. All right. So I'll see if we don't have it on YouTube, then I do want to actually, that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about is here we go.
And have good fundamentals and techniques.
Let's go.
It's a good team.
Sorry, Bo. With Dable, I know he was up for the Chargers job last year and he didn't get it because the Bills were in the playoffs. Is there a part of you that was kind of, you know, felt sorry for your friend? He couldn't get an opportunity. And also, are you like, damn, he's still in our division. We're going to have to see him again.
I mean, I don't really think like that. Dave's is a friend. I don't really understand the question. There's a part of me that feels.
You want to see your friend get a coaching job.
I want my friends to have success. I mean, I think that's what we all want for our friends, for the people who in our lives. We have good relationships with.
Given, I guess, your relationship, how do you go about game planning against him? Obviously, you and Josh will have to know the
same way we do with every other. You know, we go through our process. Dave's goes through his process. It's a collaborative effort for our staff to kind of try to put our players in the best positions to have success. Same thing with that they're doing. But this isn't we don't play. I think we all know that. You know, if we played, it wouldn't be no good. So it's the players who go out there and either execute or don't execute. We just do our best to try to put them in good situations. You know, Dave's is doing the same thing. You know, Sean McDermott is another fantastic coach they have over there. He's doing the same thing. Leslie Frazier, Heath Farwell. You know, they got a good staff. They got good players. And the players are the ones who are on the field kind of executing. You know, we just do our best to put them in good situations. So, you know, that's that conversation.
Well, I noticed last week that the team was on the sideline during the national anthem. I was just curious if there's a policy change or is that just a one-week thing?
Yeah, we decided to go out for the national anthem. And we'll do that moving forward.
Coach, the other day Jerome said that, you know, fast starts were a big emphasis of the offseason for you guys. And over the course of your tenure here, fast starts has correlated to winning football games. I'm just curious if there's a specific thing that starting fast for this particular team, what that does to help you guys, you know, win the game in the end.
I think starting fast is important. I think every team is saying that. You put a lot of work into the week. You want to see that preparation executed. If you can do it early, it'll help you. We just think it's important to take every play, make every play count, take every play seriously. You know, obviously at the start of the game, but really all the way through.
Ryan, Battistelli is having a new activity for Hispanic Heritage Month with Osuna and Victor Cruz. Are you participating in that? And if you could talk a little bit about your Garifuna culture, because the NFL is trying to bring that more to the front this month.
No, I don't. You know, this is the first I'm hearing of this. Obviously, I've been bogged down with, trying to get ready for getting our team ready and getting ready for the season. I think the Garifuna culture is something a lot of people don't know much about. So basically it's an African dialect that my parents speak. I don't speak it. So my parents speak Spanish, Garifuna and English. There's a lot to the culture. I mean, I could stand here for hours talking about it. I'm not going to do that, but obviously, it's something that's, important to me. And, I have a lot of, admiration for, the culture, the history, no punta for me. Not gonna happen.
Thank you, Brian.
Well, I guess you've seen Josh Allen the last 3 years here. How would you describe his maybe development from the other side as you've defended?
He's got, I think the big thing is confidence. I think he's got more of a presence, more command of the offense, which comes, from spending time in the offense. He's obviously gotten a lot of reps and seen a lot of different looks and has a better understanding of defense. Knows where he wants to go with the ball, knows the skill set of his the guys on his offense, really across the board, receivers, tight ends, backs, offensive line, knows his own skill set, knows that things break down, he can make a positive play with his legs. So yeah, a lot of growth there.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you.
All right, pretty uneventful outside of Will Fuller. And I got to say, some of you out there, you're so ridiculous. Seriously. Like, some of you out there, see, this is the reason why sometimes people don't respect fans, because fans are insensitive. Fans say stupid things. Fans never, a lot of times fans.
Proven quality sleep from Sleep Number, because.
A lot of times fans don't think before they actually say something. And, some of you out there like, Fuller is fleecing the Dolphins of $10 million. The guy has a personal issue. Sounds like something with his family or something like that. If it's making him, miss practice and miss the game, who knows what's going on? Have some respect, man. Something's going on with the guy. It has nothing to do with an injury. And here's the other thing. Whoever put there on fleecing the Dolphins, how it's a stupid comment. I don't think you realize this. Will Fuller needs this season more than the Dolphins. Will Fuller needs this season more than Tua does, more than Flo does, more than anybody on the Dolphins. He's only got a one-year deal because nobody would give him a multi-year deal. So this is a prove-it-like deal. And then he gets older and older if this year tacks on. So for him, whatever personal issue it is, I wish him the best on that personal issue. We don't know what it is. Give them, you guys overreact about something like somebody, cut his ass. Well, how do you know what's going on has nothing to do with him? It's something out of control. How do you know he doesn't have somebody really sick? How do you know there wasn't a tragedy in his family or something? And you're going to allow somebody to take care of your family first. I mean, this is why, what was it? The dude yesterday that was offsides was getting death threats. Seriously, you're a fan. You're going to send death threats because your Giants lost. How pathetic can you be? It's just sad sometimes. Some of you, you got to kind of take a step back and maybe grow up too a little bit. Maybe, take a moment and chill out, bro. I mean, give me a break, dude. We have no idea what the hell's going on with the guy. Now, if he's constantly getting injured, then I'm with you. Cut him, move on, whatever. But it doesn't seem like it's an injury right now. Has nothing to do with an injury. It's a personal issue. So let's respect that at least. You know what I'm saying? That's the only thing we missed. Preston Williams is improving with the knee. He won't commit to when he's going to make a debut or anything like that. So we'll see what ends up happening. But sad part is, I hope everything works out for Will Fuller, because it sounds like it's something, personal that I'm sure he wasn't looking forward to dealing with. And the way Flo said it, that, things happen in life that, let me see the exact quote to read it for you guys, because I think I saw, Barry Jackson he will respect Fuller's privacy by not revealing more. He said it came as a surprise and things arise in our lives suddenly. Fuller won't practice today or play Sunday, not injury related. You know, that's never know, man. Someone passed away in his family, someone had a car accident, someone got COVID and is sick in the hospital or whatever. Not that you can visit them, but maybe you can console the family, whatever it is. Something's going on, man. And the young man's going through some kind of an issue. Let's have some respect first, and let's wait till we actually find out what it is. You know, family is more important than football. I get it. Some of you out there are just Neanderthals, and you just want these people to be machines and not be human beings whatsoever and not have a life outside of football, not care about a family outside of football, not have any worries outside except giving you a W. Because, of course, if they're offsides on a field goal, we have to send them death threats. Right, because, you know, that's the mature way of handling a silly-ass game. Really, it's just, you know, it's just pathetic. Come on, let's go, you know. Big O, they need to put their big boy pants on and take off the diapers and join the rest of us. Exactly, right. The rest of what, you? Love Will Fuller, but there's a reason why 32 out of 32 teams won't give him a two-year deal. Hopefully he plays this season. What is that? What's that stupid statement mean, Brennan? So something happened in his family. It's out of his control. So let's blame him now? Is that how it goes? So the day you had to leave work or something because something happened to a family member, well, then you're a loser of an employee then, right? Is that how it goes? I got it, Brennan. I got it. That's how you roll. Okay. So I guess when you're working and a family member crashed and they need help, you tell them, no, I'm at work. Screw you. I'll call you after work. Is this a Geico commercial? Because we got squirrels like running all over the place.
We here. Almost got attacked. He went underneath the front of the tablecloth here and then ran back out. So I thought we were getting attacked.
Okay. All right. Well, as long as he doesn't go after D's nuts. All right. Anyway, let's remember you can reach out to us on the text line 855-912-1056. That's 855-912-1056. Let's get past these pathetic comments because obviously some of you just are a bunch of Neanderthals and you have no heart whatsoever. And all you do is think about the game and human beings don't matter at all, which is pretty pathetic. Let's talk a little bit about going after Josh Allen in this game. And they gotta listen. One of the things that Pittsburgh did this past week was make them very human, very normal. And in that game, in the 23-16 win, Singletary had 11 rushes for 72 yards and no touchdowns. Diggs had 9 receptions, but for 69 yards. Josh Allen was 30 of 51. He threw the ball 51 times and completed 30 and had 270 yards and a touchdown. He also ran the ball 9 times for 44 yards. So there was, Beasley was 8 receptions, but 60 yards. And that's what's going to have to happen in this game. You're going to have to make their numbers pedestrian. That's how they beat them 23-16. Now, how do you make their numbers pedestrian, ladies and gentlemen? This is going to be the key. It's pass rush. And last week, I made a mistake with Joe Shad on the air. I thought it was zero, but they did credit them with 1 sack. Well, that's not good enough this week against the mobile Josh Allen. And he has killed them with his legs, not just his arm. Also, remember, the Bills have won 5 straight against the Miami Dolphins. So they've got Ogbah has got to be a monster. Van Ginkle has got to get to the quarterback. Sealer, Egwuvon, Christian Wilkins, Jerome Baker. You're going to have to send a corner, a safety every once in a while. You're going to have to hit this guy. Even when you don't sack him, you need to hit him. To me, that's what it's going to be. You've got a really good secondary. And this time around, it's not like you're serving up a rookie that doesn't have a lot of experience. You've got X out there, and you've got Byron Jones, and Nick Needham has been playing some tough football, and I think you've improved your safety play too with Holland in there. So I think overall you got enough to stay with these guys. But part of staying with these guys is the guys up front. And while it's not anything shocking that what I'm telling you, of course you got to pressure the quarterback every week in a passing league. But this has got to be a kind of controlled type pressure. It's got to be a way where you keep him and you keep him in the pocket and you get after him at the same time, where he's in there and he's stuck like a pinball machine, hitting the bumpers and going back and forth and all that good stuff. You kind of have, he needs to be in that kind of an environment on a consistent basis. That's what I'm hoping for. If they're going to win this game, to me, it's all about constant pressure on him. Even when you don't get to him, he feels you one way or another. And then, of course, that secondary has got to do the same thing that the Steelers did. They can't allow these guys to be making the big plays. They're going to move the ball because they're a good offense. They've got weapons. So it's really hard to kind of stop the, you know, that offense and shut it down. I would love to see that by the Miami Dolphins. That would take a Herculean effort on their defense in order to do something like that. But I think they can do enough where they, you know, the bending and not breaking thing that they've done pretty well here in the last, you know, I would say a little over a year and a half, because it was started really at the end of the first season where the defense got better and it was kind of bending and not breaking at times and creating turnovers. And they did all of that last year at times. And they did it in week one also with the Patriots, where they made them, okay, between the 20s, you kind of move the ball, but then we made you settle for field goals at times instead of 7 points. And when they did that enough, they kept themselves in the game and they were able to win 17-16. Last week, my prediction was 24-16 Dolphins. I got one of the scores right, the Patriots. I didn't get the right score for the Dolphins. They needed one more touchdown to complete the connection. I think this is going to be a game that's going to be slightly higher scoring on both sides of the ball. And I think it's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of a 24-20 game is what I'm going to see. And I'm going 20 instead of 21 because I'm counting on the Dolphins to make them pedestrian at times and force them to settle for field goals. Now, I was really looking forward to Will Fuller adding something. Unfortunately, he's not going to play this week. So I'm glad that Shaheen is back. That adds something on the tight end side. Now, Albert Wilson gets another week to kind of prove himself that those 10 games, or, you know, weren't a fluke. So let's hope that he's able to make a bigger impact on a consistent basis. I know he had a shot for that one play, but they need a shot than more than one play in that one. They need him to become a little bit more impactful in this game. It would be really, really nice. So let's hope that the boys can come up with the pressure they need in order to win this game. All right. So there you go. What else do we have here that I wanted to talk about? Let me see. We got Hurricanes taking on Michigan State. Michigan State, by the way, Hurricanes are favored by 6. I have already taken Michigan State. The over and under is 56. I got to tell you, when I saw Mike Harley say we're just one play away, I started laughing. Because if you really think you're one play away, it's kind of like the Dolphin fans for years used to tell me, like in the, you know, Wanstead era what's it called, Sperano or something. And they would tell me, well, we're just one player away or something. And no, you're not. You're several players away from really making an impact. A lot of people, when they sign in Dominic, oh, this is going to make our defense elite. I was like, no, it's not. A defensive tackle that isn't a sack guy is not going to turn your defense around, ever. And when I hear Mike Harley that tells me that the coach has been preaching that to them and he's misleading them. I did like that the offensive coach this week, the Lions coach, kind of trashed his offensive line. He, although, you know, in today's millennial Generation Z world, I don't know if they can handle really tough criticism. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how, I wonder how we all made it in life with the rip jobs we got when we were kids from teachers, your coaches, your parents. Like, it was the norm, you know? It was the norm. You would, every once in a while, you know, you had that kid in the classroom that was a complete disaster, and the teacher would just blurt out, "You're never going to be anything in life," or whatever, something like that. Nowadays, you'll get fired if you do something like that, and the kid will cry for the rest of his life.
Yeah, or when you knew you messed up and nobody said anything, you'd be like, "What's wrong with me?"
Right. Yeah.
What's wrong? Why are they not yelling at me?
Right. Right.
That was like, wait a minute, they've given up on me.
Right.
Yes. They're giving up on me. They're not yelling at me anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I see Mike Harley with that. We're just one play away, and I kind of laugh, and that this is the coddling that's going on. And it'll be interesting to see how the offensive line responds this week after getting trashed. If they get, see, we used to get motivated from getting trashed. Hell, for years, I remember seeing artists or actors or whatever, and they would say, you know, my fifth grade teacher once told me I would never amount to anything or whatever, you know, and that always stayed with me. And I just want to tell that teacher, you know, and then you just later, you know, like, F you. I told you I'd turn into something, you know, because we would just like use it as motivation, not crawl into a corner and start crying and pouting and all that. So I'd like to see if the Hurricanes have some thick skin this week. And actually, I got to tell you something. I'm going to be impressed if they beat Michigan State. Yeah. I'll be impressed. Why? Because I have such low standards already for this university and this head coach that I just, you know, what can I tell you? So we'll see what happens with the Canes and Michigan State, but Mike Harley, thank you for the entertainment, young man. I really appreciate that. One play away. Yeah, sure. I'm only a couple of bucks away from being a billionaire. That's all I can tell you. You too? You're only a couple bucks away from being a billionaire also? Is that what it is?
I'm just riding on your curtails, man.
There you go. So we're both just a couple of bucks away from being billionaires. There you go. How about that? You know what we are? We're just one Venmo or Cash App donation away from being billionaires. How about that, huh? Cash Big O Show. Any of you out there want to drop, you know, a couple mil? We don't mind. We really don't mind. It can really help the show and help our lives. I promise you, if you drop us a couple of mil here, we will do a show outside the Playboy Mansion. I don't know if they'll let us in, but somehow or another, we'll park ourselves right in front of the Playboy Mansion and do a show. So there you go. Is that all right with you? Okay, just outside. We'll just do it.
Throw up the table and everything. We'll be ready to go.
No, we'll do it on a flatbed. Okay. So we'll be ready to go just in case they screw with us.
Just hit the gas.
Just hit the gas and we're gone. You know what I mean? You and I will be on the flatbed. We'll have Bill driving. Okay, so that way, if they say anything, Bill just drives us right the hell out, and then we'll go over to the Sunset Boulevard, and then
that works. Do it there.
You know what I mean?
That's all we need: Cash App or Venmo.
So that's it: Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show. Drop a couple million, and you know, we will provide the kind of entertainment that you were never expecting from this show. Okay, Mark Norcal says, "I am one doobie away from the munchies." That's a good dude to be away from. Made us tough. These kids are soft. That I will agree 1,000% in today's world. These kids are soft. There is no doubt in my mind. And for the few of you parents out there that have been really hard on your kids and they've been able to respond, God bless you. God bless you. Because, you know, that's the way. Teach your kids. Bring them up tough, man. because this is a brutal world, man. This is a brutal world, and if they think they're going to grow up in fantasy land, right? Because that's kind of the, you almost get that impression. They as Judas Priest would say, they got another thing coming. Okay. Let's see. I'm hoping Davis just needs more time. Every time the Dolphins make it appear, it's just a minor IR injury. The player is gone for the year. Let's see. What else do we have here? Will Fuller, another gem by Chris Greer. Greer is the gift that keeps on giving. Fuller has personal issues. Don't we all? I love that. You guys are just absolute idiots. Absolute idiots. Complete morons. Tuttle Army comes in. You're such a radio geek, Tuttle. The Hurricanes effing blow. Yes, and I'll give you the voice and everything that went with the Neil drop. She knows all the one-liners from the Neil era and all that time. You are such a radio maven. Oh, Lordy. All right, let's get to it. It is time to talk a little Canes. When we talk Canes, we talk pain. And we're out here at Canes Wear at 2511 South University Drive. So come on out, get your gear, get it ready, cheer on the Canes against Michigan State. Or you can get your Inner Miami gear, cheering on Inner Miami tonight against the Red Bulls. Or you can get your Marlins gear. Or maybe not. Or you can get your Dolphins gear, getting ready to take on the Bills. I mean, they take care of you, man. Heat training camps right around the corner. Heat gear. Panthers are right around the corner. Panthers gear. Come on, baby. They've got it all for you here at Canes Wear. So now let's go to our Canes Wear Miami Hurricanes report.
If you're a Miami sports fan, then there's only one store to go to, and that's Caneswear at Miami Fanwear in Davie. They're your one-stop shop for all your Inner Miami CF, Canes, Dolphins, Panthers, and Marlins merchandise. They have hats, t-shirts, game day jerseys, and so much more. Located at 2511 South University Drive in Davie, and open 24/7 online at caneswear.com or innermiamiwear.com. Call them at 954-835-5597. Caneswear, the spot where Inner Miami and all Miami sports fans shop.
The viewpoints, statements, or beliefs expressed on the following program by the host, guests, or callers are not necessarily the opinions of FantasyXS.com, Media Group Inc., ownership, management, sponsors, or website. Time for Canes fans to get what they want. Information, insight, and perspective. It's the Canes Wear Miami Hurricanes Report with Manny Navarro. Exclusively on the Big O Radio Show. Here's Big O and insider Manny Navarro.
All right, we're back. We promised you're going to talk a little Canes football. Manny Navarro, who covers the Canes on a daily basis for The Athletic, joins us. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. More importantly, subscribe to The Athletic and catch his terrific work. Manny, in today's world and in today's millennials and Generation Zs, we got to kind of handle them with kid gloves. And we got to be kind and courteous, and we can't be tough with them. And so I'm wondering, the tough love that they showed this week, especially the offensive line coach, I'm wondering how they will handle that because, you know, I was just talking about this earlier. We all grew up with our teachers ripping us, right? I mean, how many times did you hear in your classroom your teacher tell a kid, you'll never amount to anything? Which, you do that now, you'll get fired as a teacher if you do that now, if you attack these kind of kids. We used it as motivation when they told us, you can't do this, you can't do that. That's kind of, we got angrier and we wanted to prove you wrong is what we did. We didn't cower into a corner. So how is the O-line group going to respond from the public criticism?
It's going to be an interesting storyline, Big O. I'll tell you this. If you remember correctly, go back in the time machine with me. How did the previous offensive line coaches talk about this group, right? They were always sort of saying lack of confidence, that we need to inject confidence in these guys. Now Garen Justice in year two, and we're still talking about injecting confidence into these guys. I just think sometimes players have it and sometimes they don't. And I think, unfortunately for Miami, a lot of these guys our head cases. And so I don't know. I have no idea how tough love is going to get them anywhere. I know this. I know if Navon Donaldson wants to play in the NFL, he's got to come back with a vengeance the rest of the season and play at the best of his game. Oh. And so does DJ Scaife. And so do all these guys who have basically played a lot, but they haven't done a lot. And
I know. But talking about, you know, I'm so tired about Navon Donaldson already at this point. Yeah. Like, if I'm an NFL team, I'm like, well, wait a minute. This guy's overweight. He's lazy. He's inconsistent. Outside of that, yeah, he might be a good player. Huh? What? Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
no, it's over. It's over, Big O. I mean, in my opinion, there's no, I'm just saying the only, like, to me, that's the only motivation, right? At this point.
Right. Yeah.
If nothing else has worked, it's that. It's, hey, you haven't done your job to get yourself drafted. And now you got to go out there and play out of your mind the rest of the season. That's, if that doesn't work, then it doesn't work. And these guys are just all flops. And so, look, I don't think he's going to play this week a whole lot anyway. I think Justice Oluwasun is going to be moved into the right guard spot. I think you're going to see Jared Williams see his first real action of the season at right tackle. And that's who they're going to roll with.
And I start to think about this. Oh, my God, how things have gotten even worse. Mm-hmm. Let me walk you through this, Manny. We used to go through the issue of they didn't know how to use Devin Hester. And then he goes to the NFL and becomes the greatest returner in the history of the game. Sam Shields couldn't find any playing time. And then he goes and becomes a hell of a corner, gets himself a nice big contract, had a nice little career. Greg Olsen was kind of an underachiever here at the University of Miami and then went on to the Hall of Fame because – Canton should be waiting for that dude. You know what I'm saying? He's got Canton like numbers. He can be in that category. We used to see guys come here and underachieve because the coaches weren't getting it done. Well, you and I have been talking about this over the last year or two. We're not watching nearly as many UM players go to the league. So that's how much of a drop off that there is. It's not, these guys aren't good enough for the league, and they're also failing here at the college level. So we can't necessarily blame the coaches for not developing something that they never had in a way, but we can blame the coaches for getting players that aren't good enough in the end.
Correct. Right. And to me, you know, if somebody's really talented, then you see it show on Sundays, right? Like you mentioned Greg Olsen. Sam Shields is another great example, right? A guy who couldn't play receiver, but he turned into a guy who made a Pro Bowl as a cornerback in the NFL, a guy who played 10 years with the Packers. And so, you know, to me, I think what's happening here is, yes, the talent isn't as good. And part of the reason is we've gotten further along in the level of mediocrity. I mean, how many players have now grown up with the University of Miami? You know, the only good times they saw them is on Billy Corbin's movie. Right. I mean, that's the only, wow. If it's not for the ESPN 30 for 30, when was the last time these guys have seen a good Miami team? That one night against Notre Dame? Is that what we're going to hang our hat on for the last 20 years?
Right.
So the players aren't as good. And one thing I'll say, oh, that I think is unfortunate. And again, I have no knock on the recruiting guys. They're doing their job. They're ranking 350 kids, either 5 or 4 star every single year. I just think in the old days, when a guy was a top 100 player, it meant something. Nowadays, so many people get caught up in the recruiting rankings, Big O. I mean, so many. And I have to educate people when I talk to them one-on-one. The more guys that are ranked 4 stars, okay, the fact that you got 350 of those guys now every single year, the more stories, the more subscriptions you sell, the more people buy into the hype. Oh, we got this great recruit who's coming in. He's a 4. And so there's not that many good players. There just isn't. And there's this assumption that because a guy is a 4-star that, oh, the coaches aren't cutting it. They're not the – no. The reality is there's only 100 or so elite players that come out every year in the country. Some years maybe you have 120. Some years you only have 80. But the point is Miami hasn't got enough of those guys. They've gone to the Alabamas and to the Clemsons and to the Ohio States because the team's winning. And so Miami gets maybe a handful of guys – every year you could say, yeah, that guy could play in the NFL. The rest of them, no. And in years past, 15, 20 years ago, they were the Alabama and Ohio State. They were getting the 15 to 20 guys per year that could play in the NFL. And that's just not happening anymore. So I think, yes, there's a drop-off in talent that needs to be observed. And I think people need to stop paying attention to recruiting rankings and think, hey, because this guy's a 4-star, you should expect him to be this good. No. If the guy's not a top 100-ranked player, oh, I always tell people he's just another guy.
Yeah. That makes sense. Manny, how in the hell are the Canes favored by six? What are they smoking in Vegas? Because seriously, dude, because they're really good. I know that they build palaces over there on our money. So I completely understand that. But every once in a while, there are lines that I don't understand. And this is one of them. I mean, I hope the Canes win by 60, not by six. But right. I got to be honest. Undersized defense, undersized linebackers. They're rushing for 300 yards a game. Underperforming team. So if you do control the ball on the ground, that's less of King out there. I fear the hell out of this game, actually, overall, because I think Miami has the kind of defense that can get pushed around. And I've watched them get pushed around by Appalachian State a little bit here. So why wouldn't I figure that the Big Ten, who has these corn-fed dudes that are huge on the line, should be able to push these guys around? I fear the hell out of this game.
Well, you should on paper. I think without question, you look at this matchup and you say Michigan State, they've played a lot better than Miami in their first two games. Granted, not the same level of competition, but they beat Northwestern soundly on the road, a team that was in the Big Ten championship game last year. And then they crushed Youngstown State like they're supposed to, 42-14. So on paper, you can say, hey, Mel Tucker, second season, they've got their act together. In all reality, oh, breaking down both these rosters, Colton Pounty, who covers Michigan State for us over at The Athletic, he and I did sort of a back and forth this week. I really think these are two very evenly matched teams in the sense that they've got a very experienced offensive line like Miami, nine guys, I think, who have 161 combined starts. But they're just like Miami in the sense that before this season, they were pretty bad on the offensive line. And this Kenneth Walker kid, yes, he ran for 267 yards, I guess, against Northwestern in the opener. But he was at Wake Forest last year. He was the backup. So I think breaking them down, they got two receivers on the outside that can make explosive plays, but they don't have a tight end. Defensively, they don't have a ton of sacks, just like Miami. Their linebackers, one of them's a transfer from Tennessee. They're not great, okay? And they've got they got one safety back there who's probably an NFL player like Miami who has Bubba Bolden, right? So to me, I look at it and I'm like, these teams are pretty even. Miami's playing at home. It's going to be hot. I'm picking Miami to win this game by a field goal. I think it's going to be tight. I think it can go the other way just as easily. But I don't think Michigan State is decisively better or more talented than Miami. I just think they're very, very even on paper.
Why does Mike Carley keep thinking they're one play away? That's
he means from clicking and getting the offense going, right?
I get that part, but right. They're not. That's right. Not true. They're tons of series away from actually developing and getting that offense going. One play is not going to click an entire offense. You got to get several series together and start stringing it together, to put together the offense that you need, especially in college football and football, period, because the NFL's like that too. There's less and less defense in the NFL also, dude. I mean, give me a break. The NFL is becoming, it's college football on steroids is what it is. More than ever, I never thought when I was young, I'm sure you didn't either, that college football was going to influence the NFL as much as it has. And it has, dude. That's something that's great. I mean, we grew up with the NFL influencing college football. Now it's the other way around. So I see very little of that right now. But Harley, come on, dude. This is maybe the coaches telling him, come on, guys, we're one play away from getting this thing started, and they're just going out there and repeating it.
Oh, there's no question. That's exactly what that is, and players do that all the time. Well, we've seen it for years. Miami's coaches are trying to build confidence for these guys because right now, let's face it, they just haven't been cutting it. Derek King has one touchdown pass through two games. That's not going to win you anything. That's not going to get you anywhere, even in the mediocre Coastal Division. So, to me, Mike Harley's had two drops. Xavier Streppo's had at least two drops. Will Mallory had an important drop the other day. They've regressed to where they were before the second half of last season. That's what I see. I see an offense that was playing like the first half of last season. Now, could it change? Absolutely, because we saw when De'Aaron King and Mike Harley were connecting that this offense could score 44 points on the road at NC State. So, yes, are they one play away in their minds? Maybe. I think they're where they really need to get better at, and I highlighted this in my story this week, is the intermediate passing game. Derek last year was completing over 55% of his passes between 10 and 19 yards, 9 touchdowns, 1 interception the whole season. This year he's 7 of 16 from that range, the intermediate range. They're taking the middle of the field away. So Derek has to adjust. He has to run. He has to be the running quarterback that we saw last week against Appalachian State. And he's got to be able to hit his guys underneath who then create the play after the catch, right? That's what they need to do. And they just haven't done it yet. They dropped passes last week against App State. Michigan State's going to run the same kind of defense. They don't have Jalen Phillips or Gregory Rousseau in their front. They don't have anybody who's going to come in and sack De'Aaron King 7 times. I just think they're going to play that same type of defense. It's going to be up to De'Aaron to pick them apart. And if he does, and Miami wins this game, maybe by more than 6.5 points. But I don't think they're there yet. I think they're going to get going some. I just don't think they're going to be rocking and rolling. And I will say this. Their offense should be better. I mean, you have Keyshawn Smith and Charleston Ramble. You have two more weapons on the outside than you had last year when you had Mark Pope and D. Wiggins dropping everything deep. Now these guys can hold on to the football. You saw it. You saw that ridiculous catch that Keyshawn Smith came up with, the twisting catch. Charleston. So that's element of this offense that they didn't have last year that can make them better, and why I thought they could average 40 points a game this year because of those two guys.
Yeah, and listen, the tight end. I think the tight end should be a stud every week for this team. You talk about the short to mid-range passing game. Well, that's the dude that should be, you know, catching the ball and then getting some yak after that.
Yeah. And I think we'll see some of Elijah Arroyo this week. I don't think Miami coaches are messing around. I think you're going to see this kid in an H-back formation, especially with the fact that they're only down to one real healthy running back in Cam Harris. You could see a lot of Elijah Arroyo and Will Mallory in an H-back type role where they're blocking probably 70% of the time and then leaking out to catch a pass whenever, you know, Derek has to get rid of the ball. So I think that's what you're going to see this week. And I think Arroyo, who looks very, very good, oh, he does, this kid from Texas that they got, I think, you know, you're going to see him make some plays this week.
Let's hope so. What's the prediction? Who do you got winning?
I picked Miami 34-31. I think if they win this game, it's going to be an offensive shootout. If the offense doesn't show up, oh, I think they've got no chance in this. The defense isn't good enough to stop that running game and Kenneth Walker. So Kenneth Walker's going to get his, especially with cutbacks. I mean, if you go back and you break down the film of the App State game, Miami was over pursuing constantly, out of position. The counters were working. So I think they're going to give up a few rushing touchdowns in this game. And you know, their quarterback, Michigan State's quarterback, isn't bad. He's a good player, and he's got two guys on the outside. You know, Miami's had enough breakdowns in the secondary to convince me they're going to give up points. So I think Miami somehow finds a way with De'Aaron King and probably their kicker, who's very good, that Andy Borgales kid, to win this game 34-31.
So in the end, Manny approves of me taking Michigan State +6. All right. Good stuff there.
Go ahead.
And follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro and catch him twice a week here, Tuesdays and Fridays, with the Caneswear Miami Hurricanes Report. Manny, thank you, my brother. Appreciate you. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Thank you, bro. I'm gonna keep growing this beard out until Miami actually shows up. I'm waiting for that to happen. That's gonna be my signal.
I like the mic too, by the way. Nice job by you.
Appreciate That's, it, brother.
Sounds awesome. There you go. Good job. All right, Manny. Catch you All next right, week, brother. Be good.
See ya.
There you go. It is Manny Navarro and the Caneswear Miami Hurricanes Report.
If you're a Miami sports fan, then there's only one store to go to, and that's Caneswear at Miami Fanwear in Davie. They're your one-stop shop for all your inner Miami CF, Canes, Dolphins, Panthers, and Marlins merchandise. They have hats, t-shirts, game day jerseys, and so much more. Located at 2511 South University Drive in Davie, and open 24/7 online at caneswear.com or innermiamiwear.com. Call them at 954-835-5597. Caneswear, the spot where inner Miami and all Miami sports fans shop.
All right, we're back. Appreciate Manny as always. We're out here at Caneswear, 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Come on out. Always great sights out here when you come out to Caneswear. Great opportunity to load up on all your Canes and Dolphins and Inter Miami, Miami Heat, Florida Panthers. Come on, man. Come on out here and get the stuff. Some guy says, what was it that Sapp was on with Hawk and Crowder yesterday and said Diaz is not the guy. So, Troy, let me ask you something. Okay. I know Warren Sapp is probably better at, you know, mishandling prostitutes than anything else. But just out of curiosity, did you really need Warren Sapp to tell you that Diaz is not the guy? I'm just wondering. Really? You didn't figure that out for yourself? I'm glad that I wasn't in the car at the moment and made the mistake of turning it on and hearing that guy, because obviously I would have immediately gone to another channel. I would have looked for anything else, play some music, whatever. Who the hell wants to hear what Warren Sapp has to say anyway? But I'm just wondering, did you really need Sapp to tell you that? I don't know. That nugget you felt like you had to pass on to me? Does it look like I really needed that information? Have I been saying that Manny's the guy or something? I don't know. I must have missed it. Hey, Sapp was on and he says Manny's not the guy. He's the authority. I love that. Big O GM, what can you tell us about Will Fuller? I don't know, bro. I'm not in his private life. I don't know. I have no idea. Signal is skipping. Oh, I see. I can't. Well, mine is on. Mine doesn't count because mine is on internet. How about there? Is it skipping there? It's on mine? Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah. Oh, love hearing Manny and hearing about the Canes. Well, you'll get to hear more about it all year long. It won't be good, unfortunately, but you'll hear about it. That's for sure. Richard says Hurricane 6-6 at best. Yeah, that's probably what they are, a 6-7 win team, brother. I can't argue with that one. Let's see. Brett Favre played the day after his father died. Just saying. That's fine. And does that make it right for everybody else to do it? Does everybody grieve the same way? I'm sure there are people that probably played on the day somebody died. I mean, you can't tell somebody how to grieve, my brother. Some people may want to work to kind of forget about what's going on or those kind of things. You don't control how people grieve. And I'm not saying anybody died. I'm not saying anything. I don't know what it is. So by saying that he played after he died doesn't mean jack, because you don't know what's going on with Will Fuller. None of us know. We know it's a personal issue and that Coach Flores chose to, hey, respect his privacy. And he clearly said in life, some things happen. And so the way he was kind of talking about it, it was something that all of a sudden reared itself and now he had to go address it. And it might be something that's affecting his family, man. I mean, you know, I'm not jumping to any conclusions here. The only thing I'm going to do is respect the man's privacy. That's it. The game against the Bills is not important for him, man. Well, obviously, what's important for him is his family. And that should be, by the way, your priority, too. Okay? Just like you should attend your family before you go to a job, you should attend your family before you play a game. I get it. It affects your Neanderthal ass. So because it affects your Neanderthal ass, you don't care about the human being and what they could be going through, which could be something incredibly mentally torturous. But you don't care because the only thing that's important is that he gets on the field and wins for the Dolphins. Screw his life. Screw his family. Screw whatever personal thing he's going through, because, of course, the only thing important is the game. I got it. I understand all of that. Okay? Yeah, everybody keeps saying the signal is a skip to the loo, my darling. So what can I tell you? I can't do anything. Yeah, can't tell you anything about that. Anyway, don't forget, you can always reach out to us on the text line. We got a text line now, 855-912-1056. That's 855-912-1056. Oh, man, it's so good keeping that door open. Oh, my God. AC is hitting me, man. That is so good. Anyway, you can reach out to us there on the text line if you want. You can reach out on the YouTube chat page there. Of course, email BigORadioShow@yahoo.com. Twitter, Big O Show. Many ways to reach out to the program. Always appreciate all of you out there and the support that you constantly give us every single day. Hard Knocks is going to live to fight another day. In fact, it will return next season, even though it was kind of lame. I don't know what they're going to do to make it better if you don't have the juicy moments, because dysfunctional and, you know, the train wreck is what we want to see in today's world. That's just the way it goes. And if you take the train wreck component out of the series, it kind of takes away from it, right? Because that's kind of what we like, the drama and the train wreck and all that good stuff. So they are now going to do an in-season Hard Knocks with the Indianapolis Colts. November 17th, it will air a multi-episode show with the Colts. A couple years back, they did it with a couple hockey teams, and they actually did a really nice job. I don't know if anybody saw those. Oh, excuse me, because I know most of you probably don't give a rat's ass about hockey, but I thought it was actually a pretty cool series that they did. So we'll see if it is the case. Willie says, Big O, you mad with me? No, I'm not mad with anybody. I'm just saying, if you're treating Will Fuller like your game is more important than his family, you know, I think you're a jerk at the moment. That's all. I think you're a senseless jerk. I think you're insensitive. I think you're self-centered. I think you're immature. So I don't know, Willie, I don't know if you fall in that line with, the other people that are saying stupid comments about Will Fuller, but that's the way I feel. I'm not mad at you guys. Doesn't affect my world. I'm just telling you, you're being an asshole. That's all. I'm the tough love guy here on the show and in life. I'm going to tell you the truth, and then I'm going to move on, and it's not going to affect my world or anything with you, but I'm just going to tell you at the moment that if you're actually, you know, thinking that Will Fuller's personal issue is not as important as your game, you're pretty pathetic right now. That's all. So if you can't really understand that, I can't help you here. I know, Mike, I know you are a Islanders and a hockey fan. And I don't know if you watched that series I forgot what company had it, but it was, I think it was the Red Wings, if I remember correctly. Was it the Red Wings? Forgot now. But it was good, actually. So we'll see. He goes, what is a team going to reveal in season? Well, I don't think it's the X's and O's. Unless, you know what? I'm not even going to guess, because they've limited the other Hard Knocks now, so I don't know what they're going to do in a league where these coaches are constantly paranoid. So you know it's not going to be X's and O's. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they're going to be in the locker room when they lose or when they get cut, which they're not doing it anymore in the preseason one. I don't know. I don't know, my brother. But they better do something to add some drama to it, because – if there isn't any drama, then it's not going to fly. It's about your Teja, LOL, Big O. Oh, I have no idea what... Bro, I haven't seen every... The one thing that, you know, it's great to have a ton of people on the chat board nowadays, but the thing that has changed from the earlier days are I don't get to see all the texts, man, because there's too many coming in. So... Yeah.
I was going back. Willie Molina, he was saying he wasn't talking about Will Fuller.
What was he talking about? My hair, he says, huh? Is that what it is?
I don't know. He just says,
he said Tejas. So Tejas in Spanish has to do with my hair. So okay. I don't know. I don't know if he was complaining about my hair, making fun of my hair. I doubt he was complimenting my hair, because people don't compliment my hair. There's nothing to compliment. It's just there.
Just like mine.
It's just there, you know? It's just hair, you know. There's nothing to it, you know. It's just there.
Yeah, I went back through for a little bit, and I don't see anything else on there. So, okay, 100% sure.
I don't know what he's talking about. But if it's not about you know, the ridiculous comments of Fuller, you're good with me. Okay. Tuttle wants to tell you everybody that video quality just improved on her end. Okay. So it's all better now. Good morning, Big O, from here in Arizona. Fins up. God bless. What young men and older veterans and coaches go through day in and day out. Maybe. Michael Rodriguez, great Fuller isn't hurt and still isn't playing. Like, what the F? One of our biggest games, Miami this year, and our biggest free agent signing isn't hurt, but he still isn't playing. And Michael, what else? So you don't care that he has a personal issue either. Man, I didn't know so many of you are such insensitive idiots, man. Seriously, I had no idea there were that many of you that were going to be such freaking Neanderthals about this. The guy's having a serious family issue that he's forced to walk away from the game for the moment. And we're just going to make light of it. Triana says, oh, random question. Because I watched the movie Miracle last night, what's your favorite sports-related movie? Wow. The Natural is one. God. There's so many. I do love Remember the Titans. I can watch that over and over. Except when the kid dies in the car accident. God, I hate that part. Can't stand that part. When a kid dies in the damn car accident. That just sucks. Hoosiers. Yeah, he's paralyzed. Yeah. Hoosiers is another that I can watch on a freaking loop, dude. Huh? Little Giants? Sandlot? But I don't know. Is that sports related or is that hobby related in a way? Kid related? I don't know. But I'll go with those three right there. I love those. Those are great movies. I'll go with that. Oh, in this world, people have a lot of cold hearts. People need to stop looking at this cop-out. People need to relax and let him handle what he has to handle and win it for him and pray for him. Thank you, Alex. Thank you for being an effing human being, bro. You know what I mean? It's like, come on. Awesome job by you, Alex. I love you for that. That's what we got to do. Be human beings. Have some empathy. Have some understanding. The man clearly is going through something. And as I said earlier to all of you out there, which some of you may not have been listening, you have to understand this. Will Fuller needs this season more than anyone else. More than Tua, more than the Dolphins, more than his agent needs the commission, more than you need a win. He needs this season more than anything else because nobody was giving him a multi-year deal. So Miami gave him a prove-it deal, which is great because it keeps him motivated. But I'm sure he's as frustrated not being able to be there with his teammates. But at the same time, your family comes first. So I'm with Alex. I pray for him. I pray for his situation. I don't know what it involves, but it's obviously something really serious. So I hope that he is in a better place. I hope that his family is fine. And I hope that it's a major turnaround, like a quick turnaround, and he's back with the team next week and able to move forward. I hope this is not something that lingers and that affects his family for a long time. Because in the end, that's what's forever, not football. Your family's forever. So I will give Will Fuller the benefit of the doubt that he deserves as a human being and me as a human being. I'm not going to overreact on something that I don't know about. Now, if you tell me he pulled his hamstring again and he's out for three more weeks, then, bro, have at it. Oh, free agent signing, he's a bust. Oh, he can't stay healthy. I wouldn't argue a damn bit. But when you hear Flo's comments, you can tell something serious happened in his life. You know what's kind of frustrating? That we have to talk this much about it and we have to explain it to people and try to make them understand how to have some compassion. Right? That should come naturally. Compassion should be part of your DNA as a human being. Let's take a quick break. Hour number three and the final hour is next.